Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. The Holy Spirit continues to take us along this line of giving us examples of people who by faith did those things which the Lord called them to do. And so we'll be reading this morning from Hebrews 11, verse 28. And we'll just be reading this one verse. This is the word of the Lord. He kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Let us pray. Father, once again, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of it to us, that we may understand you, we understand who we are before you as sinners in need of your grace and mercy, and we may understand what you have done, Lord, to reconcile us to yourself. And so this picture we have today, Lord, of the Passover lamb, we pray that you would use it to show us Jesus Christ. We pray also, Lord, that you would cause us to continue to walk by faith and not by sight. Please minister to your people through your word and your spirit. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Passover is considered the greatest of all feasts for the Jewish person in the Old Testament and New Testament times. And that's what we have being referred to here in verse 28. By faith he kept the Passover feast, and the sprinkling of blood. And so it's no surprise. The observance of the Passover to their minds as an example of people who participated in it as those living by faith. Just as many of you have been preparing to come to the Lord's table this morning, this week, you have been preparing by faith. You prepare by faith. You come to the Lord's table by faith. And this is what is being presented to us here in Moses as well. For if we come to this table, or even if in our preparation we come to the Lord in any other way than faith, it's a worthless cause. Because the Lord calls us to come to Him by faith, believing in the things that He has promised, believing in the things that He has said about Himself, and believing in the things that He says about us and the things He has done for us. And so, this morning we come to this table by faith, the Lord's table, just like Moses and the Israelites who killed the lamb and sprinkled the blood of the lamb on their doorposts. The Word of God tells us by faith. They did this by faith. And that lamb killed during the Passover signified the lamb that God would provide to redeem all. He saw Jesus approaching him. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And so the purpose of this account here in Moses' life is to show us the importance and sufficiency of believing and continuing to believe in the Word of God. That, in these last days, and in the last days when this was being written to the Hebrews, the last days of that age, in these last days, the Scripture tells us, He has spoken to us by His Son, Jesus. And so, we have this presentation here of Moses keeping the Passover, sprinkling the blood set before us, so that we all have faith. Not just when we're taking the Lord's Supper, but during our trials and during temptations and during struggles here on this earth. Struggles to believe in the promises of God. Now, it must have been a strange sight for the Egyptians to see this. They had already gone through 9 plagues, already gone through 9 strange and difficult times, but now the Israelites were taking blood and putting it on their doorposts. We can only imagine what the Egyptians were thinking. Just like today, as we live by faith in this world, if we are living by faith in this world, we are even today seen as being strange to the people of this world. Some of the things that we do are strange to the people of this world. Believing in and praying to a God we cannot see is a strange thing for the people of this world. Keeping the Lord's Day and worshiping God, setting this day apart from all other things, is a strange thing to the people of this world. And coming to the Lord's table through and observing and participating in a ceremony that represents something that happened 2,000 years ago and believing that it still has a beneficial purpose for us today, that's an odd and strange thing to this world. And the main reason we do these things, though they may seem strange, is because the Lord has commanded us to do them. That's what we see in Exodus chapter 12. And that's what we see in the first words of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 28. By faith, Moses kept. In other words, he did something that he was commanded to do. And so likewise, coming to the Lord's Supper, and by faith believing that in this meal, we are truly fed and nourished in this meal that is by representation. That our souls are nourished. Our faith is actually strengthened, just as if you ate a meal for your body. As we look at this verse 28, and while we're going to look at some of the truths of the Passover, and they're certainly brought out here, and they certainly do point to Christ, the object of the Holy Spirit, as you can see in verse 28, is not to expound upon all things of what the Passover meant. For one, the Hebrew Christians here in that day would have been very, very familiar. But the Holy Spirit has another point that He is seeking to make here. And it is to point out what faith does. The Passover that's being referred to here is an example to show us how faith works its way out in our life. Faith believes in God's Word, in its warnings, and its promises. And that's what we see in the Passover. We see all these things. We're told here in verse 28 that by faith Moses did something. Why did he do it? Because God had commanded it. And we'll see why it didn't necessarily look like that would be something that would have its greatest effect. But Moses did it by faith because God had commanded him to do so. And so as we look at verse 28, we're going to see in Moses' actions, true faith. We're going to see by faith, one, how he kept God's Word. Secondly, by faith, he applied God's Word to his life. And third, by faith, he believed in the warnings and promises. I bring that out because the last part of verse 28 tells us what Moses believed, lest he touch them, lest their firstborn should be destroyed. Oftentimes we do believe in the promises, but sometimes we fail to believe in the warnings. And here we have Moses not only believing in the promises, but also the warnings. And so as we look at this verse, we'll also see how these things line up with what we are doing today in the Lord's Supper. So first, let's look at our first point, which is, by faith, Moses kept God's words. As verse 28 starts out with the words, by faith, we have to ask, what was Moses believing in at this particular stage of his relationship to God? Because we've already gone through several people that the Holy Spirit has put before us who by faith believed God's word and then did something. But what particularly is different about Moses? Why bring up another subject dealing with the same similar points? What was Moses particularly believing at this moment through the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood? Well, God used him to deliver his people out of Egypt. God had already shown him his glory in the burning bush. And to Egypt with 9 plagues already, which up to this point had not delivered Egypt from Pharaoh's hand. Nine plagues. Nine warnings to Pharaoh. Nine threatenings from the God of the world. And yet Pharaoh had not responded yet. In fact, Pharaoh had resisted God and Moses at every turn. And even when there were moments that it looked like Pharaoh was going to let God's people go, he would reverse his promises and wouldn't let them go. And I'm saying these things to you so you see what is the scenario in which Moses' faith was operating. Not only would Pharaoh not let them go after these nine plagues, but Pharaoh had even turned Israel's hearts against Moses by making their burdens greater. You may recall that when Moses first came to Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go," Pharaoh's response was to his taskmasters, "Make them make more bricks, but do not give them straw. Have them make more bricks, but have them go and gather their own straw." The Israelite leaders then accused Moses and Aaron of turning Pharaoh against them, saying to Moses and Aaron, "Let the Lord, because you have made us abhorrent in the sight of Pharaoh." This is what's going on when Hebrews 11:28, what it's referring to, the keeping of the Passover. This was the scenario of all things happening there in Egypt with Israel. Up to this point, it seems that Moses' faith in God had seemed to make it worse for the others. So Moses' faith, as it's being referred to here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 28, is not an easy faith. It's not an easy time to apply and to practice his faith. Things are not going as well as you might think after nine plagues, after nine warnings, after nine threatenings, after nine severe sufferings for the people of Egypt, and yet they are still slaves. And Moses is the one who is making these proclamations with his brother Aaron. So each time Moses went to Pharaoh with a plague, he met resistance. But God was using each one of these plagues. He was using each one of these plagues to harden Pharaoh's heart. There were the plagues of the bloody water, of frogs filling the land, hailstorms destroying their crops, locusts eating everything in sight, and that's just to name a few. But Pharaoh would still not let the Lord's people go. And so Moses could see these amazing miracles. He could see these amazing plagues that the Lord was using. But he yet saw the fruit of it. He yet saw the promise of God in which he would deliver his people from slavery to Egypt. And yet when God called upon Moses to announce this tenth plague, the word tells us Moses kept it. In spite of seeing nine plagues rejected, nine threatenings, nine warnings by Pharaoh, rejected and despised, Moses comes back with this tenth plague, one that is greater than all the others. Even though it may have appeared that the other nine attempts were not working, Moses kept believing God's word, and kept coming back to Pharaoh, and came back with this tenth plague. He kept believing, even though the circumstances weren't playing out as maybe what he thought they were. But we know from the reading of God's word that God was using all these plagues to harden Pharaoh's heart, as a testimony of God being sovereign. of God being sovereign over all things and how all things work together for God's people's good. And so Moses kept believing. He kept the Passover. And not only did he by faith believe God's word, but we also see, secondly, he applied God's word to his life. And we know that is something that is a challenge for us. We can say, I believe God's word much easier than we make application to our life. And I don't say application to our life as being something that I say, well, here's a good way to apply that verse. I mean actually employing God's word in our life. When you apply something to something else, you make contact. Application makes contact between those two things. And that's what Moses did here. We are told in the middle part of verse 28, by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. In the 10th plague, God in Exodus chapter 11 announced that he would strike all of Egypt's firstborn children dead. And yet even this did not move Pharaoh to heed God's word. He still resisted. And for Moses to even announce something like this to Pharaoh was a faithful act. Because what was he announcing to Pharaoh? Your firstborn child is going to die. That in itself would have been enough for someone like the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, to strike Moses dead. But by faith, Moses made this proclamation to Pharaoh in Exodus chapter 11, verses 4 to 8. And then it was made again to Israel as well in Exodus chapter 12, as we read, and then also in verses 21 to 28. We are told in Exodus 12, 28, that all the people did what Moses and Aaron told them to do. They applied the blood of the Lamb. That's what they were to do. And Hebrews 11, 28 gives us just those few words, the sprinkling of the blood, to summarize the whole of the thing, saying he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood. And as we read Exodus 12, giving us the details of how they were to keep it. But what we see here in Hebrews 11, 28 is that Moses not only taught, but he also applied it to his life. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. And this feast they were to keep was a feast of blood. The blood of a spotless lamb that was to be killed, and its blood was to be applied to the doorpost of the house of each family. If they would have said, Lord, we believe you'll do this, but if they would have said, it's too strange to put that blood on our doorposts. We're going to be the scorn of Egypt. If they would have taken that position, death would have come to their firstborn as well, just like it did to all of Egypt. Because it was the Lord, it was the Lamb's blood applied to the door of each house that would signal to the Lord to pass over them, to not cause death in that household. Exodus 12, we read, verses 12 to 13, for I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Every Israelite and Moses had to do this. And they had to do it, as Hebrews 11 tells us, with faith. Not just a mechanical, okay, we'll do this. This is what we have to do. Moses has told us this is what we'll have to do. But they put that blood on their doorposts, with faith that their firstborn child would not suffer death because God would pass over their household. They also had to be believing that God was going to destroy the firstborn in every house in Egypt. And there is a similar thing for us to believe in this regard. That yes, we believe that the blood of Christ cleanses us from all our sin, and that by faith we have access to that blood. But we must also be believing that those who don't, by faith, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and His shed blood to save them, that they will suffer death. Eternal death. This is the warning and the promise together that Moses believed. And they had to apply the blood to the doorpost and the lintel. The Spirit of God says in verse 28, by faith Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. The sprinkling of the blood on the doorposts was the outward manifestation of faith in God's promise of deliverance. It is different than saying, oh, I believe what God says. Faith applies itself. Faith moves and acts upon God's Word. And this speaks to us that we too must be manifesting faith in the shed blood of the Lamb of God, His Son, Jesus Christ. Today, coming to the Lord's table is an outward manifestation of faith in God's Word to save us through the blood of the Lamb, His Son, Jesus Christ. In the same words that God said to Israel, apply to us. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague will not be on you. That is the promise that God has made to you through Jesus Christ. When we come to the Lord's table, we are coming to something greater than the Passover. Remember, the Passover, this particular feast, was an action of judgment upon the so-called gods of Egypt and the firstborn of every man and beast. Just the firstborn. For a particular reason, to convince and persuade Pharaoh to let his people go, let God's people go, but also to teach God's people that it is through the shedding of blood that sins are forgiven. And so when we come to the Lord's table, we are coming than the Passover. The people who were saved by the Lamb's blood in the past, Israel. But the blood of Jesus Christ is not just for our firstborn. But it is for all of those who by faith trust in the shed blood of the Lamb to take away their sin. But what is similar is that the blood of that Passover lamb and the blood of Jesus Christ must be applied to us as well. Just as that blood had to be put on the doorpost, the blood of Jesus Christ must be applied to us. And it must be accompanied by faith. Not just mere ascension, yeah, I believe in Jesus, He was a good guy, He was a great teacher, He was a wonderful Savior. The blood must be applied to your life, to my life, and we must be believing that by faith. For without faith it is impossible to please God, as we learn from Hebrews 11, verse 6. As we come to the Lord's table today, we must come by faith, believing that what is being represented here in the bread and the wine is what really took place on the cross. That the Son of God, the Lamb of God, His body was broken and His blood was shed to redeem a people for God. If we do not come by faith, and we cannot forget this, this is how every one of these verses starts out in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith. By faith we must come to this table. By faith we must come to this table believing that those elements represent the true reality of the work of Jesus Christ. And as those who are united to Christ through His life and death and resurrection, the Lord will pass over in death and give them life. But those who do not come to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, they will experience only worse. They will experience eternal death. The Lord will not pass over those, but will pour out His judgment upon them. You see, Moses believed this judgment. The last part of verse 28 of Hebrews chapter 11, we see, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Moses knew that if it wasn't done in faith, that the Lord would touch them, Israel, their firstborn, with death as well. So by faith he believed in the warnings and promises. When Moses came and brought this declaration to Pharaoh, the Bible tells us that Pharaoh sent him out and had great anger. Said, "You'll never see, I don't want to see your face again." And Moses agreed with him and said, "You're right, you won't see my face again." Pharaoh did not like it. Did not believe it. Just like the world doesn't believe it when we proclaim it. But we must by faith proclaim it. Had Pharaoh believed, he would have begged Moses to intercede with God for him, or he would have put that blood on his doorpost too. He would have applied the blood of the Lamb to his life. In Exodus chapter 12, verses 29 to 30, we are told, "And it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on his throne, to the firstborn of the captive in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the livestock. So Pharaoh rose in the night, he, all his servants, and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead." By faith, Moses believed that a judgment was coming. And by faith, he declared this warning to Pharaoh and to Egypt. There was a warning of death and a promise of life. If there is no blood on the doorpost applied, there will be death. If there is blood on the doorpost applied by faith, there will be life and freedom from slavery. By faith, folks, we must be believing this same thing. That there is a warning of death to all those who do not have the blood of the Lamb applied to them. And there is the promise of life to all those who do have the blood of the Lamb applied to them. And those that do have the blood of the Lamb applied to them will not perish but have everlasting life. But those that don't will perish in hell forever. You see, if you only believe one half of this promise, if you only believe one half of this declaration, that is not faith. Even if it is so difficult to believe about people you know who are good, people you know who are nice, without the blood of the Lamb, they will suffer death. But oh, how wonderful it is that those who have applied the blood of Jesus Christ to their life will have everlasting life. Moses believed both these things. The Bible tells us, it says in verse 28, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. It's not just that they applied the blood to their doorposts lest he should touch them. It is by faith they applied that blood to the doorposts. Moses, by faith, applied that blood to the doorposts. And so it is that God passed over them and gave them life. So as we come to the Lord's table, we come by of the Lamb in Jesus Christ. That this has been given to us by the Passover Lamb points to the Lord Jesus Christ. That Lamb, spotless, portraying innocence, points to the Lord Jesus Christ. And just as the Passover was a feast of faith, so is this the Lord's table today. For you cannot come here and sit at this table just in a mechanical way and expect the Lord to minister to you. You must come by faith, believing that these elements represent His body and His blood, represent a true reality that took place, that was pointed to from the Passover lamb in Egypt, was pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many things that are similar between the Passover and the Lord's Supper. But the similarity that the Holy Spirit is pointing out here today is that the Passover and the Lord's Supper must be applied by faith. Otherwise, they have no meaning. There'll be no benefit to you. So as you come to the Lord's Supper this morning, come believing that the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ will save you from death, free you from the bondage of sin, and only through Jesus Christ, whom the Scriptures tell us is our Passover Lamb. Come by faith. Come and eat. Come and drink. But come by faith. That's what the Spirit is teaching us today. To come any other way, you might as well not come. But to come by faith and receive this blessing from the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Passover. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we do thank you, Lord, for this example of Moses that you have put before us. This example of faith in you, in your word, in your provision for life. We do pray, Lord, as now as we come to this table, you would enable us also to come by faith. Not doubting in any way, but trusting in the Lamb of God you have provided for us for our salvation. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Come now to the Lord's table and Before we come, we want to remind ourselves what this table is about, why it is here before us, who should be coming and who should not be coming. So the scriptural basis is found in Matthew 26 and Luke 22. And Paul uses the words from these Gospels as he delivers instructions to the church in the letter to the Corinthians. And so we read in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 26, these words as the institution of the Lord's Supper. By the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul says, "For I have delivered to you that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup, this do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" The Lord's Supper is an ordinance that was instituted by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It is to be observed until he comes again. So we as the church, we by faith keep on doing this. It is similar to how Moses kept on bringing plague after plague after plague, even though the Lord had not delivered them yet. And we don't see the full deliverance of our salvation yet. But we keep on coming to the Lord's table. And we keep coming by faith until he comes. The physical elements of the bread and wine that are before you here represent the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and are received in faith by and seals of all the benefits of his broken body and his shed blood. It is a bond and a pledge of our union and communion with him and with each other as members of his body, the church. And so we come as the body of Christ. We come together by faith, believing that those who sit at this table are united to Christ and united to us as well. And so this table, this meal, shows us that God is faithful to fulfill the promises of the covenant. It reminds us of that. This is not the covenant of grace. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of that covenant. This is a reminder to us of what God has done for us. It calls us to renewed commitment to obey and serve the Lord in gratitude. So like any meal, you rise up having been fed and nourished so that you are strengthened to do those things the Lord has called you. Christ himself is present by his Spirit in the supper to make it truly a means of grace to those who receive it by faith. Those who partake of the supper do so in thankful remembrance of Christ's body, that it was given and his blood was shed for them. And we rejoice in hope as we anticipate the final completion of our redemption in that day that we will share in the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is what's going on here today. In God's care for us, he warns us not to come to the table in an unworthy manner. 1 Corinthians 11, 27 warns us, saying, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world." it is my duty and it is the duty of the church to warn you that if you do not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, or if you as a Christian are currently living in an ungodly, disobedient life and have not repented, you for your sake should not partake of the Lord's Supper, lest you eat and drink condemnation to yourself. The Lord's Supper is for repentant and believing sinners who, after examining themselves and seeking reconciliation with their Lord and their brothers, come confessing Christ as their Savior. And this warning is not designed to keep you from the Lord's table. It is designed to call you to the Lord's table, but in the right manner and for those whom the Lord is calling. It's not designed to keep you out unless you are out of communion with the Lord. On the contrary, the supper is a means of grace offered to sustain weak pilgrims on their journey through the wilderness of this life. So we who come to partake of the symbols of Christ's body and blood, we come as sinners. We do not come thinking we have reached perfection. We come as sinners, repenting of our sin, trusting in Christ, and placing our only hope in Christ Jesus. So we come in a worthy manner if we recognize these things in ourselves, that we are unworthy sinners in need of a Savior. We come in a worthy manner if we come discerning His body that was given for our sins, and if we hunger and thirst after Christ Jesus, giving thanks for the grace and mercy that was shown to us, trusting in His merits, not ours, feeding on Him by faith, and renewing our covenant with Him. And so if you are prepared to come in this way, if you have met with the elders at previous time past, and you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and a member of a local body, a local branch of the body of Christ, then hear the Lord's words of gracious invitation from Isaiah 55, verses 1 to 3. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yet, wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. That covenant is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of you who are in Christ,